From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
On today's edition of Let the Bible Speak, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he concludes his seventh message in a series on the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. The text is verse 12, which speaks of God overcoming the seeming impossibility of Abraham and Sarah having a child because of old age. Their carnal effort to fulfill God's promise through Hagar demonstrates the truth that the flesh always opposes God's way of doing things. As Dr. Cairns has shown, this fleshly opposition manifests itself in man's determination to bypass the gospel and to try to save himself by works. Throughout the Christian's life, he'll always have to battle the flesh. The only way to overcome the flesh is by faith in Jesus Christ. Then, faith's triumph over the flesh produces abundant fruit, both in spiritual growth and in effective service for God. It is as God's people live by faith, laying hold of God's promises, that they live lives that will count for the Lord. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of this message entitled, The Fruitfulness of Faith. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from John chapter 5 and verse 13. He that was healed wist not who it was. Years are short to the happy and healthy, but 38 years of disease must have dragged a very weary length along the life of the poor impotent man. When Jesus therefore healed him by a word while he lay at the pool of Bethesda, he was delightfully sensible of a change. Even so, the sinner who has for weeks and months been paralyzed with despair and has wearily sighed for salvation is very conscious of the change when the Lord Jesus speaks the word of power and gives joy and peace in believing. The evil removed is too great to be removed without our discerning it. The life imparted is too remarkable to be possessed and remain inoperative, and the change wrought is too marvelous not to be perceived. Yet the poor man was ignorant of the author of his cure. He knew not the sacredness of his person, the offices which he sustained, or the errand which brought him among men. Much ignorance of Jesus may remain in hearts which yet feel the power of his blood. We must not hastily condemn men for lack of knowledge, but where we can see the faith which saves the soul, we must believe that salvation has been bestowed. The Holy Spirit makes men penitents long before he makes them divines, and he who believes what he knows shall soon know more clearly what he believes. Ignorance is, however, an evil, for this poor man was much tantalized by the Pharisees and was quite unable to cope with them. It is good to be able to answer gainsayers, but we cannot do so if we know not the Lord Jesus clearly and with understanding. The cure of his ignorance, however, soon followed the cure of his infirmity, for he was visited by the Lord in the temple, and after that gracious manifestation, he was found testifying that it was Jesus who had made him whole. Lord, if thou hast saved me, show me thyself, that I may declare thee to the sons of men.
Thank you.
is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs, made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
faith's triumph over the flesh produces abundant fruit.
The seed was born. Isaac came into the world
by faith. There is the fruit of sanctification. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruits of the Spirit, but the ninefold, nine ways described, fruit of the Spirit. You find it's in three threes. Have a look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. But there's more than that. There's the fruit of service. I didn't plan it this way, but it just so happens this is the text that the morning we have a dedication of a little one. I want to take this for a moment for Christian parents in the most literal possible way. Abraham had sons who probably lived and died and went to hell. And certainly the vast majority of his offspring, through Ishmael and through the sons of Keturah, perished. Your children will not go to heaven just because they were born to saved parents. Abraham had children that were conceived in disobedience and conceived in unbelief, without reference to the promise, without reference to the gospel. They and he paid the price. He had a son, Isaac, who was born in faith, in his parents' faith, whose swaddling clothes were his parents' faith. And he was saved. So many Christian parents, and I'm going to be absolutely plain and clear in this, and I want you to listen to me carefully. Especially you young couples. So many Christian parents, their view of their offspring is the view of the world. I'm not getting into the Christian ethics of methods of contraception, but I will say this, that there are Christian parents who are more interested in the humanistic ways of contraception because children would get in the way of their careers. And when they come along, they're unplanned. They're unlooked for, and belatedly, if ever, they are wanted. And as soon as possible, they're foisted off to somebody else's care, and they're left to somebody else's rearing, and then you wonder why they go to hell. Plain enough? It is the birthright of the Christian church that its parents see their children saved. I'm a Presbyterian by conviction, and I believe that with all my heart. The covenant of God has never been abrogated. It is the birthright of Christian parents to see their children saved. You don't have to abandon your children to the environment. You don't need to say, well, they're living in a wicked society, they're surrounded by evil influence. My friend, learn from Abraham and let your children be indeed an expression of your faith, not just a trial of your faith. Lay hold of the promise. Take a grip on that promise. Never let go of that promise. God has said it's to you and to your children. Take those children and wrap them in the promise of God. Envelop them in the faith of Jesus Christ. Your children will not be saved by your faith without faith of their own. But let me tell you, and here I'm getting onto theologically controversial ground, but I'm a Presbyterian and I'll say it again. As an old-fashioned Protestant, the faith of parents has a mighty big lot to do with the salvation of children. When Abraham's sons were circumcised at 8 days old, whose faith did God see? Abraham's faith. That's whose faith God saw. And God honored it. God honored it. Oh, that we would learn this. There is an abundant fruit that you can have in your children. Not just numerically. Though let us not, this is just usually a matter for smiling, but let us not fall into the trap of the world that sneers at a Christian family that is numerically large. That is of the devil. But not just numerically, but spiritually. You can have that abundant fruit in your children. And of course, we can see it as the church produces her children. We see souls born again. There's an abundant fruit for your faith. You see the multiplication factor in this text? Of one person came this innumerable multitude. Faith is both immediate and abundant in its fruits. Faith is immediate and enduring in what it produces. You believe God, and you have a blessing today, but only God knows what the ultimate blessing will be. When David Brainerd, by faith in God and his Christ, tramped the weary, snow-clad wastes in search of the American Indians to win for Christ, he gave his life. But he had an immediate blessing. But who could have told what would have happened to that remote young man, far from anywhere of any influence? And Jonathan Edwards produced the diaries of David Brainerd. They were read by John Wesley, and they largely fashioned his life. They were read by William Carey, who blazed the trail to India, became the father of modern missions, and the whole modern missionary movement that has reached hundreds of millions of souls for Christ, humanly speaking, can be traced back to a lonely, dying, consumptive, pouring out his life for a few paltry American Indians that white men didn't care about. A weak man, a dying man. By faith, changed the course of human history. Who can tell the results in the long term of your faith? May God give us Abraham's faith. Faith that will overcome the flesh. Faith that will lay hold of the promise. Faith that will see our families united in Christ and save our young ones from hell. Faith that will reach out to our nation and our generation. Move across the cities and the states of America. bringing multitudes to Christ. May God do it. Make us faithful for His name's sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our time has gone. In fact, our time went a long time ago. Before I close this meeting this morning, I want you to think very carefully of what I've said. It's not too late for you, even as a parent, with half-grown or wholly grown children, it's not too late for you to lay hold in faith of Jesus Christ and of His promise. It's not too late for you, A, to get saved, and B, to ask the Lord to enable you to live by faith. I trust that the Lord will take His word and write it on your heart. And I hope that you'll go home from this house today with a heart that yearns for a sight of Christ and yearns to live by faith in Him. If you're in the meeting and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, I'd love to help you. I'd love to point you to Christ. Invite you to remain as the others leave. Let me open up the book of God with you, and I'll be delighted to show you the way of eternal life. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Write it upon our hearts. Give fruit for its proclamation. Lord, indeed, give immediate fruit and give long-term fruit. Oh God, do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. As the result of the preaching of thy word, part us with thy blessing, keep us in thy fear, unite our families, give us our children for Christ, grant that out of this church will grow many, many young families fully dedicated to Christ, living in the faith and fear of God, and in the joy and liberty of justification through Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.